The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
It's Celebrini sending it to the slot off of Wendberg and tipped behind the goal by the netminder. Can Orlov keep it in? Nope, he can't. It's taken back. Empty net for Connor Brown. He's all by himself, and he will score. Empty net goal for Connor Brown, so all specialty team goals tonight. Devils lead 3-1. That comes with 46.6 seconds left on the clock. So count that as 19 minutes and 13 seconds.
Yeah, I think so. Again, 5-on-5, I didn't really mind our game. You know, scoring chances were pretty close to even. But again, just it's in this league with that firepower over there, if you're in the penalty box for 10 minutes, you're not going to win many games.
All right, good morning, everyone. It is Saturday. The Sharks are on their way out of New York and headed to Minnesota for the final of their four-game road trip. And if we look globally, pull back and look at what we saw from the Sharks in three games in the New York metropolitan area, we saw a pretty good performance against the Islanders, a game where they gave themselves a chance to win. We saw them get a win against the Rangers, one of the most electric performances from the Sharks in the regular season that we can remember. Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, as well as William Eklund, telling the world that they are not too far off from having one of the most dangerous attacks in all of the NHL. And then last night, on the second night of a back-to-back against New Jersey, they take the lead early on. They take too many penalties out of potentially fatigue or just being out-talented or outclassed by a Devils side that has very, very high aspirations and came into the game red hot against San Jose, more rested than the Sharks. And they gave themselves, again, a chance. It was 2-1 until late. The Sharks pulled their goalie. They gave up an empty netter. And they lost the game by a final of 3-1. Those are not in line with the performances that we saw heading into this game through the first six games of the year, in which they were 0-4-2. And I think that it's indicative of growth overall. What the Sharks don't want to do is now fall into another extended losing streak. That would be less than ideal. But I don't think that we can really walk away from any of those three games that we saw in the New York area and say, oh, the sky is falling like it was when they were 0-4-2 on the season. Not that the sky was ever truly falling, but it did give you that feeling a little bit. I think that you watch that game last night and you say, hey, the Sharks were not a team that was beat up on by the Devils. They were not manhandled. They were not taken advantage of. The Sharks inflicted a number of wounds to themselves, whether it was a delay game penalty, whether it was too many stick penalties, whether it was too many handsy type holding penalties, whatever it was, the Sharks were guilty. There was one with Skinner where it was a little bit controversial, but you know, the rest of them, I just thought to myself, that's kind of what tired teams do. They get these penalties and they put themselves in a bad situation. And again, the Devils are a very, very good team. But the Sharks gave themselves a chance to win. They gave themselves a chance to get a point. They did not. But with the one win against the Rangers on Thursday night, this loss does not feel nearly as gloom and doom as some of the previous losses did this year. And like I was excited for every game this year, I'm excited now to see what happens in Minnesota, because the Sharks, I think, will have a little bit of rest and they've got a chance to come home with a 500 road trip. That would be very, very big. I think that would be huge, honestly, if they could do that. I'm not necessarily expecting it, but I would be pretty happy if that was the outcome that we got. So right now we have to play that game of wait and see to see what exactly the Sharks can bring out of this game against the Wild. But as we look back at last night's game, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, the most important thing, the most impactful thing, the most long-term consequence type aspect of the game was Yaroslav Askarov looking like Yaroslav Askarov. And I had been pretty concerned about what I had seen from him up to this point of the season. I watched him in the preseason and I thought, that doesn't look like Askarov of last year. I watched him in his starts earlier in the year. He didn't quite look like himself. He started to look like himself against the Islanders. He started to show that athleticism, doing the splits, making the big reactive saves, the great instincts, the confidence. And I think that finally he's had the third period of the game against the Islanders and the entirety of the game last night against the Devils in which he's been able to get that momentum going, in which he's been able to find his game, his rhythm. And I would hope that because of that, he's able to get a second consecutive start against Minnesota on Sunday. And yes, that's going to be a challenging game because Minnesota has a potent attack, in my opinion. But that's what you need from your franchise netminder. You need him to be consistent. You need him to have the lion's share of the starts. He doesn't need to do every game, but he needs to have the majority. And he needs to be the guy that goes in every single game, gives you a chance to win. And I felt that, you know, what we saw last year of Yaroslav Askarov with the Barracuda, he had some rough stretches at times, but for the most part, he was really, really on top of his game. You know, I got to call a number of Barracuda games last year. I watched a number. The postseason, he was great. We know Yaroslav Askarov has a very high level of ability. And most of the games that he played for the Sharks last year, he showed exactly why they traded those assets from the Hurdle trade to acquire him. And those are the things that we look at and we say, okay, he's got the ability. So when he showed up this year and didn't look like himself, really just looked a little bit flustered in net. That was kind of the thing that I was noticing. It was troubling, but you were going to wait to see it play itself out. And through the first few starts, it was a little bit more troubling. But now that he's starting to look like himself, I think you can calm down a little bit. I think you can just say, okay, he's figuring out his game. He's finding himself. We should not expect him to be perfect every single time. And I know that's a standard that he created for himself because he shows such a high level of ability. But the other part of this is that the defense across the board needs to be better in front of both the San Jose goalies. And I think that the Sharks defense is, you know, still a work in progress. I'm not just talking about the blue liners. I'm talking about team defense. I'm talking about everyone. So it's important to note that the Sharks are a team that is learning on the go, filled with young talent, filled with new faces, all still figuring each other out. And that, yes, there was a 6-game losing streak to start the season, or winless if you want to define it as 0-4-2. But where we look at the team now, they are 1-1 in their last two games. That's a 500 record. Now, I'm not ignoring everything that happened before that. I'm just looking at the micro as opposed to the entirety of the macro. And you have to look also at the way they played New York as a whole. In their three last games, they've given themselves a chance. That was not the case before that, especially in the game against Carolina, the game against Utah, and the game against Pittsburgh. Although the game against Pittsburgh, if we're being honest, not that bad. They just got beat. So what we're seeing is the Sharks improving. It's shown up in the way of one win up to this point. Let's see what they do going forward. We cannot always point to that 0-4-2 start as being indicative of the entirety of the team simply because the sample size is too small. And I don't like to just point at one aspect of a season and say, yep, that's it. That defines the Sharks season. It's that start. Yes, there are parallels, or it rhymes to what we saw at the start of the last two seasons. But I think we can look at the Sharks and say there are more talented players on the roster now. There are more experienced, young, talented players on the roster now. You have Yaroslav Askarov ostensibly in net for the majority of games this season, and we'll see if the team can build momentum. We'll see if the team can improve week to week, month to month, and then eventually you would hope season to season. Now, when I look at where the Sharks were a couple of weeks ago, are they better now? Yeah. You know, it's not been that long. You know, we're a week and 2 days into the season, but they're better than they were. You know, that performance against New Jersey, that happens a little bit over a week ago, and it might be an entirely different performance. It might be an entirely different outcome. It might get rolled by a very good Devils team. But instead, the Sharks are playing better hockey. They're figuring it out. We cannot demand the team to be perfect. We have to acknowledge what we said the goal was from day number one, which was growth. It's alarming when growth doesn't show up. I'll definitely acknowledge that. But now they are showing that growth, and if we look back to last year, they didn't win until their 10th game of the season. This year, they won the 7th game of the season. I know that's a low bar to clear, but it is growth. The Sharks spent far too much time on the penalty kill last night. That was one of the big reasons why they could not get their offense going. Although I did appreciate that we saw William Eklund and Macklin Celebrini, two what I feel are cornerstone pieces of the franchise, show up with points out of this game. For William Eklund, his third goal of the year. He gets the Sharks on the board early on. Macklin Celebrini gets his 8th assist of the year. And those two guys have a little bit of a carryover from the night before when Eklund had 3 points and Celebrini was the star of the NHL and had 5 points. But what we should take away from this is the fact that both William Eklund and Macklin Celebrini were on the second night of a back-to-back, not tons of rest. They were still able to get points. That does not mean that they are going to have the, you know, transcendent multi-point performances every single night, but there is carryover and consistency in their game. And that was a matter early in the game where it was not the prettiest power play opportunity, kind of a broken play, but they were able to force the issue, ask questions of that defense of New Jersey, and you saw them able to hammer one home for a goal. Macklin Celebrini forced the issue, got the puck into a dangerous place, and then William Macklin was at the right place at the right time. Honestly, the Sharks needed more of that throughout the game, but they were not able to do much because they spent so much time on the penalty kill. And, you know, that's something they've got to clean up from their game. I'm sure they're all very, very aware of it. I know that head coach Ryan Warsawski is aware of it, but I'm not walking away from this game too perturbed. I'm thinking to myself, the Devils are one of the hottest and best teams in the NHL right now, and the Sharks gave themselves a chance to get at least a point out of this, and I can argue that they gave themselves a chance to win. You did have two goals taken off the board. You did create chances on the power play, although the power play was inconsistent in this game. I just feel that this is not a loss that is anything like most of the losses that we saw earlier in the year. It's an improving loss, which has been the case as of late. You know, the last bad loss was the game in Utah. The Pens loss, not that bad. The Islanders loss, not that bad. Last night's loss, not that bad. And again, I can keep on going back and talking about the entirety of the season and talking about how things change if they win those first two games, especially the first one. And I think that we're in a trap of overreacting where the past weighs too heavily on the present. But I choose to focus more on the present aspects that I do, like such as Askarov looking like himself, Macklin Celebrini evolving into a superstar before our very eyes and in the eyes of many around the league. He already is a bona fide superstar. We watch William Eklund continue to perform. We watch all these guys continue to grow and advance before our very eyes. I thought Sam Dickinson last night had a couple occasions where he needs to just be more aggressive because he is talented enough. It seemed like he was kind of defaulting or deferring to the system or to other players. And it's like, nah, Sam, you got the talent. Just go and do it. Be aggressive. And that hesitation, that's the hardest thing. And that's ultimately the biggest difference, not to overlook Macklin Celebrini's natural skill set, but there has never been any hesitation in Macklin Celebrini's game. He hit the ground running in preseason, shot out of a cannon a year ago. And so far, what we've seen up to this point of his career, that's just his nature. It's go, go, go at all times. No hesitation, no doubt. That's the difference between him and Will Smith, between William Eklund, between Michael Misa, between Sam Dickinson. And I don't hold it against them. You cannot hold the standard of a superstar who essentially started playing like that day one and say, oh, well, you're a highly touted prospect. You should be the same way. No, that's ridiculous. You set them up to fail. But that is the main difference. There was never any hesitation or doubt in Macklin Celebrini's game. So it made it seem like there was never any learning curve, of which there was and still is. But for these other players, you can see a little bit of doubt, a little bit of hesitation. And so I think the more they play, the more they get confident, you'll see that disappear from their game. Watching William Eklund so far this year, the way he drives the line, the way he works center ice, you can see that hesitation, that doubt has worked its way out of his game. But this is going to be the third full year of his NHL career. You know, 2 years ago, he had 45 points. That's a great jump. Then he had 58 points. That's a big jump last year. What can he turn that into this year? I think the way I've seen him playing up to this point, it seems like he can be a point per game guy and be a star in the NHL. The way he has played in terms of his aggression and confidence to start off this year, it's never been like this so consistently, and that's what gives me hope that we'll see more of the same from Misa, from Dickinson, from Will Smith, etc., etc. All right, let's get into some of these highlights real quick, because I do have an interview I did after the game last night with Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California. But let's talk about that goal from William Eklund, assisted by Macklin Celebrini, broken play, asking questions of the defense, and they put it home to give themselves an early lead.
On the near boards, Orlov holds it in, left point, sends it rink wide over to Celebrini, walks to the circle, shoots, save made, rebound, Smith an opportunity, and a stick stop there by Allen, cleared back out by New Jersey, and Jack Hughes was going for it, trying to split the defense to get a shorthanded chance, but he couldn't get control, but he back-checked all the way back, now the Sharks shoot, and they score! Wow!
Celebrini, right place.
Jack Hughes, in the opportune moment, fired it home. And he tried to get back on the back check, but the Sharks fire it home as they took it away from Hughes on the back checking play.
Unfortunately, that does it for our Sharks offensive highlights out of this game. But how about some Yaroslav Askarov? He was absolutely magnificent, making some tremendous saves, especially this one in the first period where he was all stretched out and made a phenomenal, phenomenal save.
1-0 Sharks, 10:22 remaining in the period, about a minute to go on the power play for New Jersey as the Devils toss it around far side, sent back to the slot, taken by Hamilton to Brandt, down low in the corner, centering attempt, and oh, what a save by Askarov off Hischier on the right side, and Mario Ferraro going right over and puts his arm around Yaroslav Askarov after saving that one because that should have been in.
Unfortunately for the Sharks, the tale of this game would be told on the power play for New Jersey, who found a 1-1 tie from Dougie Hamilton 40 seconds into the second period.
Devils with the puck, throw it around. Here's a play, Brett down low. Hischier, angle shot, save made, loose in front. Great defensive play, but the Devils get it, and Hamilton scores. The Sharks collapse right to the edge of the crease, and the two defensemen block that first chance, but they poked it right back to Dougie Hamilton. And with all kinds of chaos in front of the net, Hamilton is an expert at getting that puck through, and he did brilliantly to tie the game at one.
Then it was Dougie Hamilton again, 9:08 of the second, his second goal of the game.
27 seconds on the Sharks, penalty to Skinner. Here are the Devils circumnavigating the zone. That's Hughes who's doing that. He'll exchange with Hamilton. He's in the left corner. Jack Hughes cuts behind the Sharks' net. Dangerous play into the slot. They score! Hamilton gets it again from Jack Hughes. That was all the superstar center for the New Jersey Devils on that power play. And that is a difficult one to give up right now because Skinner, who had a goal disallowed against him, takes the penalty, and now he has that skate back to the bench with a frown on his face after Dougie Hamilton's second goal of the game on the power play and third of the season. This one assisted by Jack Hughes makes it 2-1 New Jersey.
And then, of course, the empty netter.
It's Celebrini sending it to the slot off of Wenberg and tipped behind the goal by the netminder. Can Orlov keep it in? Nope, he can't. It's taken back. Empty net for Connor Brown. He's all by himself, and he will score.
So that's your 3-1 final. Now let's bring in Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports. I told you I talked with him after last night's game. So Al, how do you feel after this one? And I will preface this by saying you and I had one big question going into this. How will Yaroslav Askarov play? He played well, yeah. Better than my pronunciation of his name just there.
I feel pretty good about this. I thought they played well with a good first period, as you kind of would expect after everything that happened in New York at Madison Square Garden. Obviously the team was feeling good after that. And then they've had some troubles in the second periods. They get some penalty trouble, and it kind of snowballs from there. They played really good, or not really good, I should say, but Yaroslav Askarov played really well. Best game of the season, no doubt. Looked more like himself and the guy we saw when he got called up last year, and that's good news. And I go back to that third period against the Islanders where he makes a big save, and I think that's a confidence booster for him, and I think maybe he might be one of those guys and one of those goalies we've seen over, you know, historically in the NHL that when he gets confident, he plays really well. When he plays better. Evgeny Nabokov was like that too. Right. He liked to play a lot. And so maybe he's earned himself a second straight start, which would be pretty substantial because so far this season, no goalie has started back-to-back games.
With that being said, would you like to see him start when they do play in Minnesota on Sunday?
I think I do. I would like to see Yaroslav Askarov in net against the Wild. I know Ned earned Alex Nedeljkovic earned the first win of the season, but I think performance-wise, if you're just taking everything else away from it, Yaroslav Askarov played his best game of the season, made some huge saves all throughout, and he looks more confident, more under control. And I think the other part of that is, if he is going to be your goalie of the future, you want to see if he could do this back-to-back games. Right. You want to start seeing if he could do this again and again. And, he's going to go up against another pretty namesake Russian over there. Not his namesake, but a guy that has some name power in Kirill Kaprizov. So that also
and
probably
some credit
a little,
card power now.
Yeah, very much so. Probably got a black card. But yeah, I think I would like to see Askie back out there to try and go against the Wild and see if the Sharks could end this road trip with a sneaky win and end it 500.
If I had told you going into this that they would have three quality performances in these three games in the New York metropolitan area against the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils, they'd get just one win, maybe taking away from the fact that they were on a six-game losing streak going in. Are you happy with this outcome out of these three games against three pretty good teams?
I think you have to be, especially given how the Carolina Hurricane game went, the Utah Mammoth game went. Penguins, they played much better, but it was still a 3-0 loss, and you're thinking, could this keep going and going? And yeah, it was a six-game losing streak, but against the Islanders, they probably outplayed the Islanders, if not from Matthew Schaefer, who was out of his mind. That could be a different game. And then obviously, you go into Madison Square Garden and do what you needed to do, and Macklin and Will have their moment there. And then the New Jersey Devils, you know, I was just reminded because there's some video just right in front of us that this could be a different game if a couple goals that go in the net for the Sharks are held up. There are good calls by the referee, a high stick, and then Alex Wenberg was offsides. But they didn't. They played better than the score would indicate, and they also you know, a bounce here or there. And, you know, maybe if Wenberg drags that heel on, they're up 2-1. So I think it was a closer game, and you'd like to see them pull that one out, you know, maybe down the line in a year or two from now. But overall, I think this is so far a good trip, especially to the New York area, the Tri-Cities area, or Tri-State. Tri-State is what they say, right? That's like the right terminology.
Yeah, Tri-State, I think.
Tri-State area. You come back with 2 points. Maybe it would have been nice to see one of those games, Islanders or Devils, get pushed into overtime so you sneak another one. Mm-hmm. But they get a win, and now they go back to Minnesota a little bit and try and get another point or two there.
William Eklund had 3 points one night ago against the Rangers, got overshadowed by the exploits of Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. He gets a goal tonight. He gets a point. Macklin Celebrini picks up another point. Even though this is not a win, it's very, very impressive and encouraging to see these young players, the future of the franchise, get more points with more consistency as well. And this is something I talked about earlier on Morning Tide this morning, is that for Tyler Toffoli, for Alexander Wenberg, for Dmitry Orlov, these established veterans, I think they, in more ways than one, the young guys hit the ground running. Young players like Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, Michael Misa, Sam Dickinson, obviously, in the very early stages of their career, even William Eklund, who's been around for a couple years now, I still think that when they're real young, they have less experience to draw upon, and you can tell. And now, suddenly, Eklund, Smith, Celebrini, they are getting up to speed rather quickly, and I think you can see it in their performance, which is being shown in the points they're putting up.
And I think, to your point on those guys, William Eklund probably started the best of the season. Yeah, he didn't have a lot of points to back it up, but from the get-go, he looked pretty good, and that he was driving center ice a lot more, and he has one more extra year on these guys. Then Macklin Celebrini came along. Will Smith, obviously, it's been well-documented. Ryan Warsawski wanted to see more from Will Smith, put him on the third line, and he got the message received, because when they get back together, Macklin and Will Mack, they do their thing, have 9 points, and then Macklin Celebrini has another one. So I think if one thing you've solidified, I think you've solidified your lineup a little bit here over the last three games.
Right.
What's going to work? In Gaudette and Graf, those two wingers were split by, or Kershev was down the middle tonight, but that was Michael Misa's spot as well. That third line's been really good. It was pretty good with Philip Kershev as well. And then if you're the San Jose Sharks, unless something drastic happens, Macklin and Will are going to be together for the foreseeable future. And I understand you're going to send shots, or not shots, I shouldn't say that, but coaches will send messages, and if you have a couple bad games or a trickle down, or, you know, some reprimanding needs to be done because they are still young guys, that maybe get moved around. But it's pretty apparent that Macklin and Will, whatever their chemistry is off the ice, it's just as good on the ice, and they have a special thing that should be together. So I think if anything you've found out the last three games is that your top line is going to be Macklin and Will, and Toffoli's out there right now. Toffoli goes well with those guys because he finds a spot and he puts his booty there, sets up shop, and more times than not, he's off to a little bit slower scoring drought right now, but he's going to be in the right place. So I think you've solidified your top two lines a little bit, and even that third line. So really, the fourth line was pretty good too, throughout all season. So yeah, I think your four lines are looking more together, and that is still thinking that I think Michael Misa is sticking around. I'm going to keep saying it, but I think Michael Misa and Sam Dickinson are sticking around.
Well, especially we saw in this game, both Mario Ferraro and Timothy Liljegren were shaken up, and obviously the injury to Letty from the game prior versus the Rangers, I think those are going to keep those opportunities open for them. What do you look at with the decor and think, okay, this is what they have to do to get better? Because to me, I've just seen a little bit too much of feet getting stuck in place. Sometimes you just see them maybe bite, overbiting and kind of going after a play when they maybe need to hold back a little bit. But it seems to me that that's where the Sharks need to find the most improvement. I'm not just trying to point out the blue line, but I just think that you know, the defenders and the team defense as a overall need to be just that much better.
Well, team defense has been an issue. They've given up 5 goals pretty much every one other than the Pens and against the Devils. The Islanders wasn't 5, but it's, sentiment's all the same. And a lot of that was the goaltending combined with the defense. If Yaroslav Askarov's going to play like he did against the Devils, then it's going to fall upon your defense to step up a little bit more. And I think what I've noticed in their own zone, they get beat off the wall a little bit more than, I think they should. But that's also, you're playing defense, and the offensive guy knows where he's going, so you'll be a little more reacting to the offensive, the forward. But I also think, like, clearing out pucks in front of their net, I think they could be harder on sticks and pushing guys out of the way, because I think a lot of the goals, even on that first Dougie Hamilton goal on the power play, Askarov makes a couple big saves. I know they're on the power play, but they don't clear the puck, and then it's all on Hamilton's stick. So I think a lot of the things we've seen this year is a lot of rebound chances. And I also, I don't know if it's a trend, and maybe this is something we talk to Ryan Warsawski or whoever, you know, is, we're talking about this, but they go down to their body a lot.
They do.
It's something, I don't know if it's something that they're being taught or it's what's
the belly slide.
But I think it's hard to get up fast enough sometimes. But, you know, I'm just a guy looking on. I'm not inside that. So maybe they're playing some analytics things too to that. But yeah, I think clearing out and being stronger in front of your net. And, you know, you hear Drew talk about it every time, but finding players sometimes and not just finding the puck.
I got to say, things feel decidedly different after this loss with a win having happened, as opposed to the previous six losses that preceded it. And it just feels like the sky is not falling. Everything is pretty much calm. You're like, okay, the Sharks played pretty well. It was 2-1 till an empty netter against one of the perceived top teams and very hot teams in the East right now. And they get to regroup for Sunday. I mean, that feeling, the fact that it changed so quickly with just one win, can't be overlooked.
Yeah, and I think that's all it took, though, right? And you're hoping that winning feeling can let the team breathe a little bit more. And I think they didn't play tight tonight. It also looked towards the third period that they'd made a good push. But, yeah, they were on back-to-backs, and the Devils were waiting for them. But they need to enjoy that winning and get back to that as soon as possible, because we saw it the last couple of years. They get a win, or they get one or two, and then it's four or five or six right after. And then you're right back into that routine of, man, how are we going to get out of this? So even if they don't go and win a bunch in a row, but it's maybe lose one or two and then get a win, or then lose one or two and get a win, that type of one in every three would also be indicative of the 30 win total that I think the team should really be shooting for, if not get hot and do something special. But yeah, I think just the win, you know, we're not talking about the eighth loss in a row and post-game or pre-game. It makes things a lot lighter.
We've done that before.
Yeah, so I think overall, you also aren't like, oh, man, what's going to happen in this game? What's going to happen in this game? And so I think, yeah, getting that one out of the way allows the guys to breathe a little bit easier. And then hopefully now it's getting these losing streaks. I think that's the other thing now to make the next step for this team is when you do lose, it's not four or five or six or even eight. We are into last year, 11 games. It's one or two, two or three, and then you get back in a win total.
Did Mac and Will make life harder for themselves by having that spotlight moment at Madison Square Garden 2 games ago now? Like, if the NHL wasn't aware of how dangerous they could be, is the rest of the NHL saying, okay, those guys are a problem, we need to make sure that they don't beat us like that?
Maybe in Will's case a little bit, but I think they're at the top of the scouting report regardless. They were going to be all coming into this year, and especially Macklin Celebrini. I think every eye was on Macklin coming into this, whether it was Team Canada officials, fans. There's a lot of hype around him, and it was, oh, is he going to back this up? And early on in the season, you know, we're early on in the year, but first handful of games, it was like, well, what's going on with Mac? He's not scoring at the rate that we're scoring, but he still was like a point per game producer, which was higher than last year. And now he's blown it out of the water with that 5-point game.
Yeah, what'd you say? He's on pace for 129?
Yeah, 100 on pace for 59-79, 129 points or whatever that was, or 59-70, 129. And that would be a Sharks single season record, might I tell you. That's probably not going to keep up. But I think in a sense, yeah, it makes their life a little bit harder. But I also think it's not like they were playing not against the top line before.
Right. Yeah.
Like they're getting all the matchups, and I think it makes it way more fun too. And now that you as Sharks fans and us as, you know, people talking about the team, we can look at them and say, oh man, there's a real potential here that these two guys on any given night can take over a game, which hasn't happened in quite some time for the San Jose Sharks. You know, there's always a Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, and when Patrick Marleau got hot and when he was a streaky scorer, he was going to score 6-7 games in a row. Joe Thornton, if he got going with some ridiculous passes, he'd have 3 or 4 assists a game. So I think we're getting back to that with what is possible. Now for the team, it can't be the boom or bust, though.
Yeah.
Right? You can't be, oh, we're going to get 5 points, 4 points. It's got to be one or two, maybe, and then we get a blow-up. A blow up in the good sense, like you get a 5 or 6, but you still get a point. Like tonight with Macklin Celebrini, still gets a point there on the primary assist to William Eklund. William Eklund gets a point. Yeah, he doesn't get 5, but he gets 1. And keeping that consistent, if they're going to keep driving the offense, and then you're going to get contributions from other guys like Colin Graf, who had a breakaway, Gaudette had some chances. That line, those two guys, GG, we got to come up with GG and the Misa or Kershaw. Three P's. So we'll come up with the alphabet soup line or something like that. But yeah, I think Graf and Gaudette particularly have been really impressive. I think they're settling into that third line role, and they're both guys that you can also work up and down the lineup if needed. So yes.
He is the host of NBC Pre and Post Game Live on NBC Sports California, Alan Hoshida. Alan, thank you so much, man, and I will see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Again, that's Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California. We're out of time. We will see you Sunday as the San Jose Sharks take on the Minnesota Wild. This is a 3 o'clock go time, 2:30 pre right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.